weeks ago. And, you know, each week something else happened, so I just felt late at the time to do it. But there are many times that we feel as though instead of going forward, our spiritual lives are going backwards. Instead of receiving blessings, it seems like sometimes in our spirit we receive nothing but problems. And we wanted to deal with that on this evening. You know, and one of the things that the Lord did tell his disciples, he said, the most important thing you need to do is watch and pray. Amen. And he told them why. So that you do not enter into what?
Temptation.
So that your temptations do not get the advantage of you. So in order for you not to have your trials and tests get the advantage, we must what? Watch and pray. And then Paul tells the church of Ephesus in the 6th chapter, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. Tonight, our enemy, even though they might be working through that individual, is not the flesh, is not the blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and so spiritual wickedness is in high places. And what we want to deal with tonight, you know, when you get saved, you say, thank you, Jesus. All those old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's true. But tonight we pray that God enlighten your understanding as to why when we are up on a spiritual high, it seems like we're really on a spiritual low. But the Bible says, if God be for us, if God be for us, who then can be? Amen. How many have been baptized in Jesus' name? How many have been filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, that signifies that God is with us. So who then can be against us? Amen. It didn't say they wouldn't fight, but there is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. Why? Because God is with us. And the Bible says at the end of that, shall prosper, it says, because we have an inheritance. And our inheritance is in God. So let us stand. Amen. Tonight we're going to deal with overcoming our struggles. Overcoming our struggles. And we pray that as we go along, you have a more of an understanding of why you really are victorious. Though it may seem as though you're struggling, we all have the victory. So we're going to read, start in Matthew 12, and I think verses 22 till we get to the last verse, I think it's like 37 or so in this. So we're dealing with overcoming our struggles. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care what place you reached in God. You have trials. Amen. For the Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it adds something to that. God will deliver him out of them all. And the scripture says, the angel of the Lord encampeth. In other words, God's angel is all around us. Encampeth round about them that fear him. How many reverence? That fear doesn't mean I'm shaking in fear, but I reverence God. So because we reverence and honor God, his angels all around us to deliver us, to make ways where there is no way. So if God is for us and angels are protecting us, who then can be against us? Matthew 12, verse 22 reads, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him. And so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Let's read that again. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every king. divided against itself, is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We must be unified, no matter what, we must be unified. Verse 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then? If I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he bind a strong man? And then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we pray tonight that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Lord, make us understand what is the hope of your calling in us and what the glory is of the saints of God. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak tonight for thy servant here. Lord, tonight we ask you to bless and make a way where there is no way. Lord, in the midst of confusion, we ask you to give us peace. Lord, in the midst of trouble, we ask you to still help us to have the joy of the Lord as our strength. Lord, may we ever lift our eyes to your holy hill from whence cometh our help. Now, Lord, tonight we ask you to rebuke and subject anything that is not like you. And Lord, our hearts and eyes have to have thine own way. Now, all these blessings and favors we're going to claim, can we all say in Jesus' name? Overcoming our struggles. Doesn't matter if the struggle is the computer or not. We have to still overcome our struggle. Doesn't matter if the struggle is the computer or not. We have to still overcome our struggle. So Jesus, they brought unto him that one that was deaf and dumb. And then what the essence of this is that Jesus said, you know, if this one, the one statement he makes here in verse, he said, but if I cast out devils by, verse 28, by the kingdom, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is what? Come unto you. Well, the devil has no power over the church. Amen. He can threaten, he can make it appear as though he has power, but he has no power over the church. All right, let's go to Luke. It says, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourself like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Amen. When we do something for God, we don't wait a long time. He said, open unto him when?
Immediately.
Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh,
shall find watch.
Can you make it smaller? Okay. Hey, hold on. Keep jumping up. Okay, he said, if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken into. Now, what we're dealing tonight with struggles, our problems. Now, when we got saved, all of us, every last one of us had a different issue. We had different things that bother us, idiosyncrasies, different things. You know, for instance, some of us had, anybody ever had a problem before they got saved with anger? All y'all, see, some of y'all have been righteous all your life. That's right. Right? So we was laughing. But anger of spirit, which we learned tonight. Anybody have problems with jealousies? Right, when you got saved? Well, God brings that spirit under subjection. But what we're going to learn later is though that spirit is under subjection, that spirit never leaves the vicinity that you are. It never leaves. So the reason we must watch and pray and be looking for the Lord's return is because God is trying to stay with us, but the devil is trying to get back in. That spirit, every last one of us, has a different influence. Jealousy is a spirit. Laziness is a spirit. There are spirits. Everything. There's only two spirits in this world. If you're not being governed by the Spirit of God, then you've been governed by the spirit of the devil. Those are the only two spirits. Well, when God saves us, he cleanses us. All right, let's go to, let's go to Matthew 11 part of the next verse. Because for the sake of time, we just don't have time to go through all of them. Matthew 12, 34, he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He said, I didn't mean it. Whatever's in always comes out. So we must watch and pray. We must keep our bodies under subjection. Paul said, I fight, I slave, I beat my body to keep it under subjection. Why? Because if we don't control our bodies, after we tell everybody else the right thing, we will become a castaway. So it says, verse 20, 36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak shall they give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We have to be careful what we say one to another. And remember this, whatever, every last one of us know what bothered us the most. We know what our greatest trial was. For instance, some people, when they got saved, had a problem with pornography. Let's just use that. That is a spirit. When you get saved, that spirit, God has brought that spirit under subjection. In order for that spirit to remain under subjection, you must watch and pray. Because if you don't watch and pray, that spirit will become a temptation. Right? So let's say you didn't have a problem. Let's say you had a problem with alcohol before you got saved. God saves and delivers you. That spirit hangs around. It never leaves. You say, well, what Bible reference do we have for that? The Bible said when Solomon was old, if you read, we're not going to go to it because we don't have time tonight, but go to 1 Kings chapter 11. It said, and when Solomon was old. Now, if we paraphrase that, we can say, and when Solomon stopped watching and praying, the scripture says his wife turned his heart away from God. When he was old. Well, what does that mean? The devil has been working on him since he was young. That spirit never changed. That's why Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Because of that spirit. Another individual we can use to show how the spirit will keep working till he gets the advantage of you is Samson. Samson was able to conquer through God great enemies. Can you imagine taking a jawbone and slaying 1,000 men at one time? Through God. But when he stopped watching and praying, a simple woman like Delilah destroyed him. So the devil was not able to overcome Samson by might, nor by power. But he overcame him through the spirit of deception for his lust for strange women. So whatever the spirit was before you got saved, never leaves. Now I want to go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's keep going. Chapter 12. I want to skip down because we don't really have time to do all of this. But you can read this in between. Now the Bible says, verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he does what? Walketh through dry places seeking rest. When you got plans, whatever, you know what influenced you. You know what things you had to work to overcome. You know the embarrassing things that happened in your lives that you don't want anybody else to know about. When God saved you, he brought that spirit under suggestion. He cast it out. But the spirit did what? He wanders about in high and dry places doing what? Seeking rest. But he's not comfortable in any other home but this home that he came out of. All right? That spirit, if you were a smoker of cigarettes, that spirit will not be happy in any other home. So constantly that spirit will fight to get back into the home that it came out of. Alcohol is a spirit. Drug addiction is a spirit. Pornography, lust, all of that are spirits. Disobedience is a spirit. Well, when God cleans you up, when you stop praying and you stop fasting, when you lose the spiritual advantage, that spirit is coming right back. So a lot of times you say, well, how, if I can say, why do I still have the same problem? The spirit never leaves. But the spirit will get will get dominion or control over your life to influence you when you're not in the spiritual position that you should be in. When you're not spiritually watching, when you're not spiritually alert, that spirit will get the dominance over you. So it says, then saith he, I will return where? Where I got cast out of. When you get saved, that spirit, as you're saved, that spirit, when you get prayer, that spirit will try to come back. Homosexuality is a spirit. Lesbianism is a spirit. So when God gets saved, you say, well, they were so wonderfully saved. What happened? When you stop praying, when you stop watching, when you no longer have God's ark of protection, when your reverence is not to God, then you don't have an angel's camp around about you. So guess what? That spirit returns back to the house from whence he what? Came out of. That's why we struggle. As long as we're alive, those spirits will always try to come back home. They're like homing pigeons. You can send them away, but every time you turn around, they're right back. Okay? And a lot of times they call it principalities. So every last one of us know the struggles we had before we got saved. Well, when you get saved, that spirit keeps trying to come back. No matter who you are, it always tries to come back. And you say, well, why do I have to fight? You ever ask, why do I have to keep fighting? I wasn't even thinking about this. Where did this come from? The spirit is trying to come back home. When you stop fasting, when you stop praying, when you stop honoring God, that spirit, I don't care what it is, they're laid on with the name of a lot of different spirits, it will come back. Though it won't possess you, it will influence you. All right, so it's so important that we stay spiritually strong. Say, when he has come, he findeth it empty. So now we know God's spirit always comes in. When we don't give ourselves to fasting, praying, and keeping God's spirit active and alive, then the spirit has nothing to block its coming back in. When you stop praying, when you stop fasting, what happened with Solomon, it says, when he was old, Solomon stopped doing the spiritual things that he had asked God for early in his ministry. So when he stopped doing it, it said that spirit, if you go back, he talked about his affinity with all of these strange women from the beginning. Well, then when he wrote the books warning us in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs about wisdom, but he got old. And the very wisdom that he gave to us, he stopped using it. So what happened? That spirit that had been following him for 40 years now got the advantage. The devil has no limitation. His desire to have you could be short-term or it could be long-term. Well, how long? As long as it takes for him to get you and I. never stops. The only way you can get the advantage is when we stop praying. All right, we won't finish this, but we get as far as we can. That he finds us swept and garnished. In other words, God has cleaned us up. So what does he do? Then goeth he and taketh with himself what?
Seven
other spirits, more wicked. So that spirit that was trying to take you out and have you die and go to hell before you got saved, keeps coming back. You say, well, I overcame it this time. Don't worry, he will be back. He won't stop. Because his desire is to make you seven times worse. So the reason we struggle, the reason we find ourselves in a spiritual battle is because God is for us and the devil is against us.
Yes.
But it's our vote that will make the final decision.
Yes.
So when we stop fasting, when we stop praying, when we stop leaning on the everlasting arm of the Lord, then that spirit will come in.
Right.
And he will influence us. But so how can we know it? Because Jesus told Judas. He said, now Judas, the spirit has entered into you. Now go do what you've been called to do. And that was to betray the Lord. So Jesus told him the spirit had entered in him. The spirit is always hovering around trying to get up. What was the spirit? It's the spirit of greed. Judas wanted the money. So because he was greedy, greed is a spirit. Amen. The desire to have more, jealousy, covetousness, they're spirits. If you don't control that spirit eventually will get the advantage of you. And the Bible says that we are not ignorant. We should know what it takes in order for us not to allow that spirit to get the what? Advantage of us. More wicked than themselves. And they enter in and dwell there. That's the problem. The devil wants to get back. Young people get saved and they're shouting and they're happy. But they start fasting. They start praying. They start hanging around the wrong spirit. So what happens eventually is this. That spirit comes back and it begins to dwell where God has cleaned them up. Not just young, but old alike. And that spirit's desire is to control you. Like I said, every one of us know what was our greatest test, trial, our greatest temptation before we got saved. That spirit never leaves because that spirit has the one on. We'll get a little further later going. He says, for even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. He said, well, rebuke for us. Then he says, I'll return. Then he goes to take a seven. Okay, then this is Peter, okay? He's talking about going and bringing back seven spirits. This is talking about Balaam because of his spirit for money. Greed. Said, what was rebuked for his iniquity? The dumbass people with men voice forbade the madness. Now, madness is the Greek word paraphonia, which is equivalent to paranoia. Paranoia is a spirit. Paranoia is a spirit. So it says that the madness was because Balaam had paranoia. It's a spirit. You ever meet somebody that's paranoid? No matter what you do, they're paranoid. They're always suspicious, always something wrong. If you don't overcome or get the advantage of that spirit, then that spirit will get the advantage of you. All right, so he was madness. And it says, paranoia means headstrong passion and rashness that act in opposition to. You ever try to reason with people just can't get through? They're paranoid. It's always in opposition to godly reasoning, a state of disorder, reason, or intellect in which a person raves or is furious. When you deal with someone, no matter what you do, they're always in a rage and they're furious and they're just paranoid. You did this, you did that. You can't do anything with it. That's a spirit. So when an individual's like that, you got to put them in God's hand. Paranoia is another word
you talk to them and they tell you that you said this and did that and did the other, you say, where'd that come from? That's the madness of the prophet. You can't do anything because that is a spirit. Now that person can get delivered, then all of a sudden you see them acting that way again. It's because they stopped watching and they stopped praying. And that spirit that had left them eventually will come back and have the dominance again when they're not spiritually minded. That these are wells without waters, clouds that are carried, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words, abandoning the allure to the lust of the flesh, I want to go down. It says, verse 21, it says, well, let's go to verse 21st. It says, for if after they have escaped the what? Pollution. When God saves us, all those spirits can fall under the category of pollutions. It says, for if they have escaped the pollutions, which are defilement, the vices of the ungodly, which contaminated person, when we escape the pollutions of the world, and the knowledge of the, well, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then again what? That spirit comes back. Once God saves us, once God delivers us, now when we willingly place ourselves back in that position to be entangled again. Entangled means that we are enwoven, we are obsessed with it. Anything that is an obsession other than God's spirit will bring with itself seven more spirits more wicked than themselves. So it's our responsibility to be spiritually on God. We know the devil is trying to get the advantage. We know God has blessed us overcoming. Don't allow yourself to get entangled again. Because God has it. It helped us to escape from that pollution. It says, then, and not only are they entangled, but they are what? Overcome. The Spirit's desire is to overcome. In your heart and your mind, you want to do the right thing, but you won't let God help you. But the weapons of our warfare are not what? But they're mighty through God. Samson learned that as long as he was going through God, there was no power that could resist him. But the moment he let down his guard, a simple-minded woman destroyed him. But our power is through God. And it's not just power, but it is mighty through God. How? To the pulling down of strongholds. Bad habits, those bad vices, those things that we used to do. The Bible says it will bring them down. And it will not only that, it says what? The next thing it does is cast down your paranoia. Casting down imagination. And every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The devil is constantly battling against us. Why? Because he's trying to get us to fight against the knowledge of God. Amen. But the Bible said when we go through God, God will pull it down. When you go through your flesh, the devil will get the advantage and you'll find yourself crying and can't figure out what happened. You grieve, you're burdened because you haven't yielded to God. But it's mighty through God to the pulling down the stronghold and casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. The minute we start going contrary to God's word, well, the whole world is doing it. Come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. He said, now if you follow this prescription, I will be a God unto you. You will be my sons and daughters. But if you refuse to come out, God says, you can't be mine. And because you can't be mine, you lose your protection against that dominating spirit. And then that spirit comes back, and you just can't figure out how am I in such a deplorable condition because you're not watching and you're not praying. Say, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of what? Then after they have known it, to turn from the delivered unto them. Amen. Jesus said, if you love me, do what?
my commandment. He said, my commandments are my dreams. When you stop keeping God's commandments, when you stop watching, when you stop keeping up the wall of protection, the devil will come in. Now, if you go to John chapter 18, we're not going to go there. How many of you know about malice? Matt, you know about malice, right? All you Bible malice, no, y'all don't know about malice. I know malice because we had to do it when I was in Bible, when we were in Bible mode way back. I said, malice? What do you want to say? Malice? M-A-L-C-H-U-S. Well, you know, malice was a servant of the high priest. And Jesus had told them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells them to watch and pray. But what Jesus does in John is what John does is he tells what happened when they refused to watch and pray. So while Jesus told them, he said, couldn't you watch for me 1 hour? Couldn't you watch as you went so that you don't enter into temptation? So what happened was when they came to get Jesus, the servant of the high priest, Peter, got up and cut off his ear. Jesus said, no, Peter, if you hadn't been watching and praying, you realize that this is not a carnal battle. You fight in the wrong battle. He said, Peter, put the sword back in the sheath. He said, this is not my, he said, my hour is now come. Then he performed the greatest miracle that should have let them know he was God. The ear was on the ground. The Lord picked the ear up and put it back on his ear. That should have been enough right there. But you know what happened? Peter was not praying. Peter wasn't watching. So when temptation came, he went back to the carnal weaponry. Our battle is not carnal.
That's right.
We don't fight that kind of battle.
That's right.
So Jesus said, okay, Peter, now I know you slept when you should have been praying. He said, now put the sword away. When we don't watch and pray, we always go back to the physical. We say, well, Lord, I want to pray. I don't want to get out of control. Then we find ourselves blurting out things we shouldn't say. You didn't watch and pray. So because you didn't watch and pray, though you might have been praying, you were not watching. It's a two-way street. It's not just one. You must watch and pray. When you don't watch and pray, then you go back to the carnal weaponry. And you lose every time. And that's why Jesus told me, he said, Peter, I warned you before this happened. He said, now put the sword away. He said, not only do I want you to put the sword away, but I'm going to perform a miracle before all. But because their eyes were blind with their own will and way, they still didn't see the great miracle of God. How many miracles have God performed in our midst? How many miracles have God performed in our lives? How many times have God made ways where there should have been no way? But we are blind by our own deceit. And we don't even recognize the miracle of God that takes place right before our eyes. What? Carnal weaponry. All right, just a little further, and then we'll finish the rest at another time. He said, but it has happened unto them according to the what? True proverb. And that proverb is the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the soul that was wise see her wallowing in the mire. And as a reference, we want to go to this. Then we're going to go to just Mark, and then we can finish that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Because it talks about, it gives us our pattern for what to do to be successful. And the very first verse of Ephesians chapter 5, can y'all get that? Ephesians chapter 5, maybe comes back to us, tells us exactly what we have to do. If you can't get it this way, I'll read it. That's good. Don't come slide. We don't want you to struggle back. Ephesians chapter 5, and I saw it, it says, Be therefore followers of God as that's all we have to do. Just follow God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. But fornication and all cleanliness or covetousness, let it not once be. He said, don't let me be named among you that are what?
Saints.
God wants us to live a holy and a pure life.
He said, don't let it even be named among you, because those are unclean spirits. He said, let's get down. Now let's go through this. Because, you know, this, but fornication, it explains itself. And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting. Now, a lot of people say, well, this, you can talk ungodly or make sexual insinuation and mean nothing. He said, don't even let it be named among you. This foolish talking and jesting, he's talking about, they're telling all these sexual jokes at the job and I'm laughing with them. God said, no, don't let that be named among you. That becoming saints. Saints are not supposed to participate in that type of foolishness because that glorifies the devil and the flesh and not God. So he said, don't even let that be named amongst you that are saints. That kind of filthy, you know, like, oh, did you see such and such? And they say it in such a sensual way, that's wrong. I don't care who you are. I don't care who they are. I don't care what position they're in. The Bible said, don't let it be named amongst you that are saints. Some people say, well, it's all right if you listen to it. It's not all right. The Bible said, don't let it even be named amongst you. It's wrong. It's ungodly. And it is a spirit. And that spirit is not of God. All right? So it keeps going on to say, neither jesting, which are not convenient, but rather to give them thanks. For this you know, that whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor an idolater, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. They don't have any inheritance. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words. God's word must take the preeminence above all men. Whenever you allow a man to influence you against God's words, you are being deceived. Amen. So the scripture says, let no man. Now, did you notice it didn't just say little man, it says no man. Pastor doesn't make a difference, let no man. Elders doesn't change the facts, let no man. Well, I'm a minister, doesn't make a difference, let no man deceive you. If it's ungodly, if it's foolish jesting, if it has sexual in your innuendos and it's not your spouse, it is wrong. And the scripture says plainly, don't let it even be named amongst you that are called saints. If it can be misconstrued that your good is evil spoken of and you're kidding around too much, it's wrong. That's sin. And the Bible said, the person that does this has no part or no inheritance in the kingdom of God. It's all about walking right and talking right. We got to do what's right before God. Well, you can read the rest of that. It goes on and talks about all the way goes through drunkenness, having fellowship. It says, what's a shame to speak of those things even when they do in secret. And this had to do with a lot of those ungodly things. Now the world, you know what they were dealing with? They were dealing with the Baccalaureate. This is the same thing that they do down in New Orleans doing Mardi Gras. This is what, the same spirit, it's not a new spirit. The orgies and all that is ungodly. That's what they're dealing with. That's what Paul was telling them. He said, that is sin. Don't let it be named amongst you and don't even become a part of it. That is an unclean spirit. Now let's go to Mark chapter 5. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tomb, a man with what kind of a spirit? An unclean spirit. Immediately they met him, a man with an unclean spirit. All that we just read about is an unclean spirit. Okay? Okay.
Okay, let's just let you description me that was the word. All right. Yeah, I go to Mark chapter 5. This is our last scripture. So let's go to verse 3 of Mark chapter 5. All right, it says, the man with unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He was so under such demon possession, even though you put chains on him, he would break the chains because of that spirit. Because he had been often bound with fetters of chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. How many men is this? One man. What did he have? An unclean spirit. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, the devil know who God is. He said he saw him afar off.
Come on.
And the scripture said, oh, you tell me that. Oh, you just got it. All right. He saw him afar off. And the latter part of that, this spirit was unclean. Nobody could tame it. They couldn't do anything with it. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he did what? He ran and the devils to worship God. What in the world wrong for us? We got to have a mind to worship him. The devil saw him afar off. And he realized who he was. And immediately that spirit went to worship him and cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man thou unclean spirit. Listen. Unclean spirits will never lead you to God. They will always take you away from God. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. He said, for what? We are many. Well, I thought it was what? No. He says, we are many. What is it? An unclean spirit. Remember, they always take with them some more wicked than themselves. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now, these spirits, they always hang around. Now, though Jesus was casting out the unclean spirit, he said, don't send us a long ways away. All right? He said, now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. The devil always wants a body. When God cast Satan, Lucifer, and the devils, demons, or his angels, at that time they were angels, when they became demons, when they were cast out, they became disembodied spirits. So they're constantly seeking a body. They're constantly seeking a body. And all the devils before him saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. Swines are just brute beasts. They have no ability to reason or think. But look what happened when the spirit gets into the swine. And entered into the swine, and the herd ran what? Violently down a steep place into the sea. And then you want to know how kind of power they had? Swine? How many of them were there?
2,000.
Why? Because the devil always wants a body. This swine was just sitting there feeding normally. Whenever that unclean spirit gets in you, it makes you act irrational, out of control, and rash. And they were choked in the sea. And they that feared the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they what? They went out to see what was done. And after they saw what was done, They went out to see what was done, and after they saw what was done, we'll do the next part next week. They said, asked Jesus, said, can you please get out of our coast?
Right.
Now you would have thought they would have said, Lord, get more of these unclean spirits out. The spirit went out of one man and destroyed 2,000 swine. As we stand, when God saved us, he delivered us from many unclean spirits. You know what the unclean spirit was, a spirit that God delivers you from. Well, those spirits always seek their home from whence they came out of. They always seek rest. And when they come back, if you don't resist, every time you become seven times worse. And Peter said, it would be better for you have not have known the way of righteousness than after you have known her, to allow those spirits to come back in and influence you. Tonight we struggle because we don't keep God first. We struggle because we allow man's words to deceive us. Well, Paul told them in Ephesus, let no man deceive you. Amen. Tonight, salvation is about us and God only. It's not you and any man or you and any woman. It's about you and God only. When the devil allows, when you allow the devil to influence you to change your focus off of him, then you can be negatively influenced. Keep God foremost and in the forefront of your heart and mind. And as Jesus told his disciples, he said, it's time for us in the church to watch and pray. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he says, all we have to do is resist him steadfast in the faith. When we hold on to God, when we hold on to God's word, that's the only way we can resist the devil. Other than that, we can't beat him. Because our fight is not against flesh and blood. And it's not through our carnal mind, our carnal abilities, and our carnal thinking. That's why we have to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Before we make our next decision, decide, is this in God's word? Is this what God would have me to do? And if you're not sure, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. We must learn to trust God with all of our heart. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. And James says about God, with him there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God never changes. He's the same. Hold on to God, and you can be assured that he will keep you free from that unclean spirit that's trying to re-enter you. Elementary.